Okay, so if you don't have, don't worry. I'll just read and I'll explain the outside. We're up to, if you have the Ayin Vav, only two lines left. Tikkun Hamokam Ketzat. The Sefer HaChassidim has given us a whole long list of requirements, a long list of eight things that a person lechatchila should do before he davens or during davening, and the eight things in his list are not me'akev. They are not critical. In the event the person does not have all of these eight things, it's still he fulfills his obligation to daven. I think we're up to number four, maybe number three. Okay, we learned last week about the malbushim. Now we're up to about this. We learned last week about the malbushim. We discussed about the requirement to wear a belt. Okay, that topic, and we discussed the requirement, the idea of wearing a hat. And over here, the Sefer HaChassidim, not like the Mishnah Berurah, says a hat is not a requirement. He says, and everything
also says the same thing.
Everything over here, anyway, is not a requirement. But even in the things that are not a requirement, he says, only it's the derech chachomim v'talmideihem shlo lehispadol ela kashein atufin, when they're wearing the atuf, they're wearing a hat. Now, the word atufin really does not mean a hat. That's more of a vague expression. Atuf means your head is covered. Now, what does that mean exactly? So, shachris, we discussed this, we also had a whole discussion, we're going to spend time on this, is one who is married required to cover his head with a talis. Okay, so you see in shul different customs. Some people, during davening, when they're wearing a talis, they cover their heads with the talis, and some do not. In Breuers, okay, the German Jews, they, bedafka, do not. They do not cover their heads with a talis. There's only one person who covers their head with a talis, and that is the rabbi. Okay, that is the custom amongst in Germany, bedafka, not to cover your head with a talis. You cover your head with a hat.
But don't the German Jews wear a hat with a talis, yes, on their shoulders?
Yeah, they wear a hat. Right. They wear a hat, and they wear the talis on the shoulders, and the bedafka do not cover their hat with a talis. Chassidim, there are groups, I cannot give you the names, maybe you know Yishol Zev, you know better, there are Chassidim, very, very rare, but they wear a strimel when they daven, and the talis goes on top of the strimel.
The rabbis, certain
rabbis. Oh, only rabbis?
When they get an aliyah.
Get an aliyah, they put the strimel on?
Selective rabbis.
Okay, good. They put the strimel on, and they put the talis on top. Okay. Okay. So that's, they wear a strimel, and they take the talis on top of the strimel. So he's saying only when they get an aliyah. No. A strimel is a bignei Shabbos. Okay, those who are not familiar, including myself, a strimel is purely bignei Shabbos. Or Yom Tov. You do not, Chol HaMoed as well. Chol HaMoed is when you wear bignei Shabbos. A chassan, yeah. And the family. When you go to a wedding, it's a very big dilemma among Hasidim. When you go to a wedding, if you feel that you're part of the family, you wear a strimel. If you don't feel, I'm not saying if you are or you're not, it's a question of hergish, because the question is cousins. Okay, if someone is not a cousin, someone is just, a guest at a wedding, a Hasidic wedding, you don't wear any, if a person on Shabbos, he wears a strimel, and they go to a wedding, so if it's their own child, their own family, brother, sister, family, of course, they come to the wedding wearing a strimel. What about grandparents for sure? What about cousins? Cousins. It's very interesting. Someone was telling me it's not so simple. And it becomes almost insulting. Like if you come to the wedding of
first cousins for sure.
They all do?
I've seen.
Okay, could be. If you come to the wedding of a cousin and you don't wear a strimel, you're basically saying to your cousin, I don't consider you part of my family. If you do wear a strimel, people look at you. Who do you think you are here? You think you're mishpacha? What do you think over here? You're so close with them. You have to come with your strimel. Who do you? You're caught in between. I'm not joking.
But rabbis, when a rabbi
makes a chasana, then that's a different story.
And if you don't, it's insulting.
Exactly. So it's a very interesting thing. The head covering by chassidim. It's a whole world. It's a whole Torah. Now, Litvax, Baruch Hashem, we don't have these problems. But what about What about during davening? What about during davening? So during davening, amongst the Litvaks, the Misnagim, if you're a German from German descent, the Yekis, so they bedavka do not cover their head with a talis, a no-no. It's very interesting. Very interesting because when you make the bracha on the talis, you must. Everyone must do that. When you make the bracha on the talis, l'sateif batzitzis. When you make the bracha l'hisateif, the word itof means to grab your head. So when you make the bracha, you have no choice but to put the talis over your head, no matter who you are. That's a davar pashut. Once you've made the bracha, then it's interesting that the minig is you don't have to wear the talis the remainder of the time with the talis over the head, even though you made the bracha when it was over your head. But now you let it drape upon your shoulders, and that's good enough. For Shmona Esrei, the minig amongst most of B'nai Ashkenaz is in Sardos. I don't say that, but B'nai Ashkenaz for sure is to cover their head. Again, now why is that not so simple, to cover your head? Because the only makar we find for covering the head is by a shaliach tzibur. Okay, if I'm not now by the German Jews, does anyone know of this? Does the shaliach tzibur cover their head with the talis? I don't think so, right? The shaliach tzibur, I don't think so. Okay, now that's interesting. So it seems that the rav, the makar for covering your head with a talis is Moshe Rabbeinu. When Moshe Rabbeinu went to Shemayim to be mispalo, to the Ribbono Shel, to forgive Klal Yisrael for the Cheto Egel, and Hashem acquiesced, and Hashem then taught him the Yud Gimel Midos Shvrachamim. It says in the Chazal that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nisatef betalis kishliach tzibur. The tzura, the image that Hashem showed Moshe Rabbeinu when Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos of Rachamim, which is the essence of tefillah, okay, the essence of prayer is rachamim, was where Hashem was showing him how it's done. Hashem was the shaliach tzibur, and Hashem's head was covered, whatever that means, whatever, was covered with a talis. So from here, there is a makar that the head should be covered. But who is the one that covers their head? Only the shaliach tzibur. So why then, so amongst German Jews, their custom was, you're not the shaliach tzibur, you're just a spectator, you're a participant, but you're not the representative. Who is the representative of the tzibur, the real shaliach tzibur? The Rav. And therefore, only, even though the Rav, they have a different understanding of what it means the shaliach tzibur. They don't mean the shaliach tzibur, the one who goes before the Amud and says the chazan and leads the prayer. Their understanding of the shliach tzibur is our leader. Our leader is the true shliach representative of the tzibur. When we daven, the rabbi doesn't always daven. It could be maybe it started. It could be, I don't know if this is true, but it could very well be that, and this is true in many communities, is that the rabbi wasn't just the leader who made decisions. The rabbi served as the leader in davening. Maybe not every single tefillah, but certainly on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, the important tefillah, so it went hand in hand. That the rabbi, who is the representative of the tzibur, he also leads us in prayer. In more modern times, it's not always true, because the rabbi is not necessarily the one who leads the davening, but still the minhag is preserved, that the only one who covers their head is the rabbi, who is the community representative, and not the one who davens for the but not the private people who daven on their own.
Amongst, but before Siddurim were printed, maybe one person had a lead and the other people didn't necessarily know Bahad.
So they were quiet. And before Siddurim were printed, the Shliach Tzibur basically, he said the davening, and everyone listened, and that was it. You listen, you answer Amen, and that's how you fulfill your obligation. Period. Now it's Siddurim, so but you're still part of davening. So the question is, do you cover your head with the talis? Okay, but amongst the Litvisha Olam, I don't know why, but for some reason, everyone covers, the minigis, everyone covers their head with the talis. Maybe it has to do with the fact that once already you're wearing a talis, and when you make the baracha on the talis, you must cover your head. You must cover your head when you make the baracha, no?
I think that's a recent
the development? What? To cover your head?
Yeah.
Well, we make the bracha. We make the bracha.
Not the bracha,
davening. Okay, in a chanami, I don't know. It could be also it developed. In the more modern community, they bedafka don't. They don't cover their head. They don't cover their head. Why not? So some it's a halacha. They'll tell you it's halacha because only the shliach tzibur. Only the shliach tzibur. What? Right. So the question is why not? I guess yakis. Why wasn't the shliach tzibur? You have to say it's because the use of the rabbi. He was the shliach tzibur. Because the ikum makar for covering your head comes from nisatef. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kishliach Tzibur, and he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud, Gimel Midos Sarachanim. Why then in the Litvisha Olam do they cover their head? I'm assuming it has to do with the fact that since when you make a bracha on the talis, you must cover your head, and this everyone agrees, this is the basic principle. So that is a revelation that the proper way to wear a talis is with your head covered.
Or maybe they're just emulating the Rosh Yeshiva.
That also, in a chanam, you're aspiring to something higher. But since when you make the bracha and you cover your head, that appears, that shows that's the proper way to wear a talis is with your head covered. Therefore, you should ideally cover your head with the talis when you daven as well. Others say no. When you make the bracha, you cover your head and that's it. And then you put it on your shoulders. It could also very well be the reason why the minhag began is because maybe not everyone, it was convenient for them to wear a hat the whole day. You come to the Beis HaKnesses, you don't have a hat with you. If you don't have a hat, so then the next best thing is to cover your head with your beged, with your garment. So it became the minhag to cover your head with the talis. Today, everyone has a hat. Okay, well, let's say in Germany, they were much more proper, they were more refined, they wore a hat. I come to shul with a hat. If I have a hat, there's no need to put the talis over their head. The other Jews, they didn't have a hat. They did not have a hat, so they don't want to just daven bareheaded, even though they have a yarmulke. Okay, yarmulke is definitely a head covering, but there's an inyan that you should cover your head more. Why do you wear a hat? To cover your head with an additional. It used to be, not America anymore, obviously, but it used to be that when you wear a hat, it's a more respectable form of a show of respect. You don't come bareheaded. You don't come bareheaded. Your head is covered. What?
Until Kennedy came along.
Kennedy was the one who set the style. He was the first one who gave his inaugural address. He did not wear a hat. And from that, the Olam says
he
became.
He destroyed the industry.
That's right. He really did. Borsellino, all these companies are. What are the other companies called? The famous company, I forget already. Stetson. That's right. Yigmamish, take the president, impeach the president. Look what he did to us. Look what he did to us. He destroyed a multi-billion-dollar business. It's true. It's absolutely true. Okay. Look. Remember who was running? Who was running for office? And he said on television. He said, Big Bird. Right. He made some joke. One of the debates. Going back like a couple of years ago, one of the big politicians who was running for president, he made a comment about Big Bird. Do you know, and he said that it was like a few weeks before Halloween, do you know that Big Bird costume was sold out in the entire country? And they were rushing to produce as many Big Bird costumes as they could possibly produce because who was it? Recently. He ran against Bush the second time. He ran against Gore. Bush. No, Gore. Not Kerry.
What?
Who?
Gore.
No, keep on going. I forget.
Carcass?
No.
Not Kerry.
Married to Heinz.
That's Kerry. Kerry.
Not him. Not him. The other guy. Keep him going. Not him. He's very tall.
Male or female?
Male. Whatever. Okay, they're going off topic. It's not important. In any event, wearing a hat is a very interesting concept.
But I didn't get a definitive answer on the German custom, but I just vaguely recall that the Chazan wore a Chazan hat.
Right.
Okay, I hear that, but the problem is that's not what it says in Chazal. Chazal said that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nis'atef b'talis. He was nis'atef, he enveloped himself in a talis. Ituf, in our vocabulary, means the head is also covered. Which means that Hashem taught Moshe Rabbeinu that when you are serving as the Shaliach Tzibur, you wear the talis covers your head. Now, it's also one. I just tell you a side point. This is not no game, but I learned many years in Chaim Berlin, and I always found it very interesting. Chaim Berlin, there's you know, normally the minig is if you're not married, you don't wear a talis. Period.
Right.
When I grew up, when you daven for the omud, or let's you lane, anything that a boy does, you have to put on a talis.
Yes.
If you daven shachris and you're not married, or you're lane and you put on a talis, you do not put the talis, even if you daven in a place where the minug is to put the talis over your head. You daven in a yeshiva, and the minug is every married man, when they daven Shemona Esrei, they put the talis over their head. Kriya Shema, you put the talis over your head. But if you are a bachur, you're not married, and you're davening for the omud, or you're laning, or you're doing any service for the tzibur, you do not.
You wear your hat.
You wear the hat. Everyone else also has a hat in the shul. They don't take the hat into the they leave the hat outside and they take the talis. It distinguishes between a married man and a bachur. Yes, and makes no difference. That's how it's done probably almost in every place that I know, every shul I know where the minig is to wear a talis over your head. Now, there are shuls where the minig is not to wear the talis over their head. We're not discussing that. But in a place where the minig is to wear the talis over their head, when I grew up, every place, if you're a bachur, you bedavka, do not. When I went to Chaim Berlin, I was shocked to learn that when you daven for the omud, or you do any public service in the yeshiva, even if you are a bachur, you put the talis over your head. And I asked, why? Why is man ishtana hamokam everywhere else? So he says that the, I guess it goes back to Rav Chudner, he says the ikur makar of putting the talis over their head is not for the people. It's not for the hamoinam. It's not for the spectators. It's for the shaliach tzibur. He is the only one who has an obligation to put the talis over their head. Because the source of putting the talis over their head comes from the Chazal, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he taught Moshe Rabbeinu the Yud Gimel Midos HaRachamim, Nis'atef B'talis Kishliach Tzibur. So if there's anyone here who has to put the talis over your head, it's the Shliach Tzibur. And it doesn't make a difference if you're married or you're not married. So indeed there, the minig is that when you daven for the Yomud, and many times, all the time, Bachim, daven for the Yomud, and everywhere, there are a lot of minyan, all different places. There, I don't know any other place where they do this. I don't know any other yeshiva or any other shul where they do this. And I mean, it makes a lot of sense, obviously. But you can't have tainus on the other shul. That's not the minig. It's not the common minig b'Yisrael to do otherwise. Okay, so again, it's a very interesting thing. The Mishnah Berurah, what about when it comes to mincha? And Ma'ariv, so it said Mincha Ma'ariv. There are different minhagim. You wear a talis or not? Even if the shliach, right? So nusach, Ashken, nusach svard, bedavka. No, you do not wear a talis for Mincha and Ma'ariv. Nusach Ashkenaz. Some do, some do not. Those who do, you're wearing it for what purpose? Kavod hatzibur. Nothing more than kavod hatzibur.
You
yes.
At night, there's no mitzvah of tzitzis.
Exactly. That's why. Right. Exactly. That's why it's much easier. Even at night, ma'ariv. There's no mitzvah of tzitzis at night. Right. It doesn't matter. In some places, it depends. Yesh v'yesh. Kavod hatzibur.
We don't
jacket. Some shuls have a minug that they're not. You don't have the people in the shul. They don't wear jackets. They wear short sleeves. There's no hakpada to daven. The meaning of the makam is not immaculate in clothing. But if you daven for the omud, so then even ma'ariv or mincha, you should put on a jacket. You should put on your jacket. If you don't have a jacket, so then put on a talis. Put on the talis. Why? For one thing only. Kavod hatzibur. Respect. If you are representing the tzibur, you should be dressed with a greater degree of refinement, a higher state. We all understand this. The rabbi always is expected to be perfectly dressed, tie, hat, nice clean suit. The regular person, there is no expectation should be dressed perfectly. I know somebody gave a shir. I know someone who's no longer living, this person, he gave a shir, and he always came in with his tie wasn't perfect. It wasn't perfect. So my Breuer, remember my Breuer from the Agud of Avenue L? He was very proper. He British. British. He was British, and he has an accent, and the British are very proper. Belgium. Okay, could be right. He very, very proper. Very proper, with an accent, and there was a person who gave a shir in the shul once a week, and he came in a suit and tie, and everything was dressed, but his tie wasn't always perfect. So one time he said to him, if you're giving a shir in my shul, you're the maggot shir, I must insist that you come in perfectly dressed. The tie has to be tight, and everything has to be perfect. You are the maggot shir, and for the maggot shir has to have a tzura of a maggot shir. This is what Rabbi Breuer insisted on his shul. So if that's... The Shliach Tzibur is the same thing. The Shliach Tzibur has to be on a higher level than everyone else. The Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. He says that when it comes to that, that's the wearing what's wearing. As far as the hat is concerned, the Mishnah Berurah says that you have an obligation to wear a hat. Whenever you daven, you have to daven with your head covered, an extra covering, a covering of a hat. All I can tell you is that that's not necessarily accepted. There are a lot of people that do not accept that halacha. What? Well, they're very machmir. They want to get the yeshiva boys. They want to get them trained. The yeshiva boys know if you're not going to train the yeshiva boys to wear a hat with the sneakers, you know, it looks a little bit funny. You wear these funny white sneakers, and they wear a hat, and you know, it's a matter of just training them. It's just a matter of you know, we all know that they should get accustomed to it. But Mishnah Berurah is very machmir. Halacha lemaisa, not everyone is so machmir. There's an achiv to wear a hat, and you see here Beferish in the Sefer HaChassidim, he doesn't make any big deal about it. He says here that, first of all, it's part of this section of eight things which are not absolutely required. Number two, even when he makes mention, he says the one that did ituf are only the chachamim and the talmidehem. Not everyone today holds themselves to be from the chacham, the talmidehem, where this is an obligation, halacha.
What? What kind of hat
does
the weigh
800 years? Whatever they wore, wear a hat. Today, whatever you want to wear. What does it matter? Well, yeah.
It is important.
Sorry?
What's the significance of Rabbi Riskin and others at demonstrations that
they
wear
talus? They wear, when they go out to a demonstration, they wear a talus? I guess it's just symbolic to show the Jews.
Or to attract attention.
To attract attention. When you're wearing a talus, I'm a Jew. Make no mistake about it. It's a statement. We're not protesting as people. We're protesting as Jews.
And he's a rabbi.
Mm-hmm. Look, there's another important halacha. When you give a drasha, it's a very interesting. When you give a drasha, it used to be the minhag. Some people still do this. Shabbos HaGadol drasha. We're a talis. You ever see this? Shabbos Shuvah drasha. Shabbos. You're giving a drasha. You're not. What?
Yeah, I've seen it
sometimes. When did you see this? I never saw it. I've never seen this. Rabbi Leibowitz or Leibowitz?
On El and East 35th.
So he wears a talus for
Shabbos.
Ammon does it? Really? That's interesting. I wouldn't expect that. That's fascinating. In the afternoon, you come to shul, he puts on for the Shabbos.
Giving in the afternoon, gives it right after Shabbos.
Oh, so that's wrong.
Well, that doesn't count. I think.
No, but I used to give in the afternoon. I think you would talk.
Yeah.
The reason that Moshe Rabbeinu was covered in Mutav Betanit.
He wasn't covered. Hashem was covered. Hashem showed him a vision of Hashem himself being covered.
Moshe Rabbeinu asked, "Are you not a Kodesh? Do you have any Vachai?" Moshe Rabbeinu did a panim el panim. How it was that he didn't have any problem, and maybe he was mutaf to cover his face, not to look at the Shekhinah.
This was a spiritual vision. This wasn't a real vision.
I know,
it was a spiritual vision. What this means, we have no idea. All we know, we have a chazal that says Hashem, when he taught Moshe how to daven, Hashem served as the shaliach tzibur who was enveloped, draped in the talis. That is the makar. It all starts from there. The shaliach tzibur, the rabbi who is a shaliach tzibur, and by extension, every person to a certain degree, he's davening. You're davening, so you're coming to connect yourself to the shaliach tzibur, so you imitate the shaliach tzibur. That's where it all comes from.
Yeah, shaliach tzibur is... messenger from the Mitpaleli, yes?
Correct.
And Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to write up the Et Ha'Egel. His Shaliyah from the Bnei Israel, he should have Me'utaf B'talit. Why Hashem should have?
Hashem told Moshe that when you serve as a representative, you should be enveloped in the talus. That's all to that. That's it. Sholzeh, you had a question? You had a question? Okay, let's go further. Now, Tikkun HaMakom. What is Tikkun HaMakom? Ketzad Yamar Adam B'Makom Namuch V'Yispalel V'Yachzer Panav L'Kasalim. Now we come to the person ideally should daven in front of a wall. Daven, where do you daven this morning? If you have that expression, I daven by the Kosel. What does that mean? It means I daven Yechidus at home by the wall. Right? That's an expression by the Kosel. The Kosel, so when you daven in shul, the ideal place to daven is in front of a wall. Why? This is a consistent theme. Distractions. There's less of a chance you'll be distracted if you're looking at a wall. If you're davening in the middle of the shul, you're looking around, you see what's going on, that's not a good thing. V'yachzor panav, a person have makom namuch. Namuch means you can't see very much. If you're standing on a very tall place, you have bird's eye, you have a very high, you have a big view. Everyone, if you drive a car that's high, it's a whole different experience. You ever drive a car that's a big car? You can see everything. You drive a little jalopy, you can't see very much. The higher you are, the more you can see. The more of a distraction it is when you daven. If you're davening on top of the bima, so you're davening, I can see the whole shul. So you see all the problems, all the talking, all the distractions. You daven in a place that's low, and that way you'll be less distracted. The yispalel, the achzar panav lekasalim, you shall daven towards the wall, less distractions. V'tzarech leftecha chalonos. You're supposed to, now here's something that's very interesting, it says to open the windows. Not just have windows in shul. There's such a concept, it's a very interesting concept, is to open the windows. Does this mean, some will translate for you the word leftech means that when you do the construction, we do construction today very differently than they did construction in ancient times. When we do construction, the windows are built before you build the wall. You build a frame. You have a frame of steel, wood, whatever you do, and when you build the frame, you right away you have windows. That's not the way it worked in ancient times. In ancient times, they build a wall, they build a whole wall with bricks, with cement, and then they decide, where do we want the windows to be? Over here, and then you punch out windows. So it's called Pesoyach Chaloinos, to open windows in a brick wall. So you build a shul, now the shul has been built, we have to have 12 windows, like Doniel, as we learned in a few moments. Doniel was the one who invented this concept when he was in the palace. He opened up windows in his cell, in his little abode, to see as a way to connect to the outside. So that's seemingly what it means, liftoyach. You start with a wall that is solid and you open up windows. It doesn't mean to open up the window in the middle of davening so the air can get in and get out. However, others disagree. Maybe what it means, liftoyach haloinais, it means actually, yeah, you may have a window, it may be glass, it may be opaque, whatever it is. When davening begins, make sure there's an exit. There is a real exit to allow air to go in and out, because it plays with the mind. When the mind sees not just light going in and out, but the mind sees a real opening, it creates a sense in the person's mind that my tefillos actually are going somewhere. They're in motion, they're moving. What does all this mean? It's just, I don't know, it's a very hard thing to understand, but it plays with the mind. Liftoyach hachalonos, oy pesachim, if not a window, then some type of entrance, neged Yerushalayim, lehispalel negdam, to pray towards these windows, shekein motzinus, if you don't have the sheet, don't worry, I'll say it very slowly, bidoniel. Doniel was the first one to invent this concept. Doniel was the first, he was taken to Golis. He was taken early, 11 years, with the Chorsh v'Hamasker, I believe, maybe even before that. He was taken down to Bavel, to Nebuchadnezzar. He was very talented, and he was recruited by Nebuchadnezzar to serve as his officer, as a secretary, as a butler, to do different services. And it says there, v'kivein pesichin. V'kivein means he means precision, kavana. With precision, he opened up windows. V'chiva means windows. V'chavin, windows. It's the Aramaic for windows. Pesichin, he opened. Lo, be'alisa, in his attic. Neged Yerushalayim, opposite Yerushalayim. This is what Doniel did.
Isn't that how they caught him?
Yes.
The window that he was
I don't remember. We learned the Nihil a long time ago. Maybe, I don't remember. But in any event, he opened up windows. How many windows? 12 windows. Why? Each Shevet has their own Shar. When you daven, you have to recognize that there's something in this Klal Yisrael called diversity. Even though in the minyan itself, you're not allowed to have more than one nosach, because loisis goydidu, you're not allowed to splinter into multiple groups. So each minyan has to be one. Don't allow multiple noschos at one time. However, you have to recognize when you daven, there are other parts of Klal Yisrael. There are other sha'arim. In Shemayim, there's a chazal that says there are 12 entrances, 12 gates of Sharei Tfila. Each one of the 12 Shefatim had their unique nusach, had a unique text, formulation of their davening. And it was connected to who they were. It represented their essence. And each one had their unique nusach, and therefore in a shul you have to have 12 windows to represent, to show that in Klal Yisrael there are 12 gates of prayer. But in the minyan itself, there's only one nusach. It's a beautiful balance. In this shul, we do it this way. My way or the highway. But we're not closed, narrow-minded people to think that we are it and there's no one else that exists in this world other than us. There are other segments of Klal Yisrael that do things differently. And therefore, to show that we acknowledge that we're not self-centered, there are 12 windows. This is the mukar, by the way, of why in many of the nice old shuls, they are having 12 windows today. I don't know why. People build multi-million dollar shuls.
Yes, well, why don't we do it today?
I don't know. It's a Mamash Apello where Rabbi Kahn did it. Rabbi Kahn did it in the old shul, not in the new shul. I don't know why. A lot of things that he did in this old shul, he did not do in the new shul. The old shul... What?
Stained glass for each
other. Oh, when it comes to that one moment. But it used to, I know, Rabbi Kahn's old shul, he did a little, a teeny little shul, and he had the Amud was, he had to take a step down into the Amud. We'll discuss that. If that's that, the whole idea, that, is that correct? Not because a whole different discussion. And then he had custom made in his old shul 12 little teeny windows on the Mizrach. In his new shul, I count it all the time, there's no little 12 windows, there's more than 12 windows. I do not know, but it's interesting. Today, people spend millions and millions of dollars designing the building, so why don't they also design into the building 12 windows? Is there anybody spending millions of dollars?
Glass stones be like the windows?
Yes, of course, glass. Okay, but what do we do today? What do many shuls today do, at least as a zecher ledavar? They have stained glass. The windows that they do have, They have stained glass. And what do they put in the shul? The Yud Bei Shvatim. The 12 Shvatim, each with a little picture, depiction, or their name, whatever it is, and some do it on the Aron HaKodesh. Where does that come from, having the Yud Bei Shvatim? The Mukar for having on the Aron HaKodesh, or on the Sari Aron HaKodesh, or anywhere, is this. Is V'chivein Pesichila Bal Yasa Neged Yerushalayim. Having summer on the Mizrach, the number 12. If you can't have 12 windows, so just have the Shvatim, the Yud Bei Shvatim. Because the Yud Bei Shvatim is the same idea. There are 12 gates of prayer. Each Shevet has their unique gate. All of this has been lost from us. And we don't know where they are. Someone says the Nusach Ari. Anyone daven Nusach Ari? It's a very beautiful Nusach. Nusach Ari, as the Lubavitch Tav is Nusach Ari, correct?
But it was Balatanya.
You put it all together.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful Nusach. I once davened in the shul where I davened when I was in Ovel, so I once davened for the Omer, and the rabbi says, we davened in Nusach Ari, just look it all before you davened. And it was very interesting. It was really a beautiful combination of Nusach Sard, Nusach Ashkenaz, and supposedly, Al Pi Kabbalah, this Nusach is Koilel all the twelve Shari Tzvila. Is that true or not? Who knows? But there's such a thing. Everyone does acknowledge the Chazal. You can't make up the Chazal. There are 12 gateways to Shemayim for each one of the Shvatim, and it corresponds to the 12 windows that Daniel he fashioned in his room. And therefore, in the Beis HaKnesses, if you can, you have the 12 windows. And if you can't have the 12 windows, you have stained glass windows. And on stained glass windows, it says the 12 Shvatim. Or you have somewhere in the shul on the Mizrach side, some zecher for the Yud Bei Shiftei Koh. Okay, remember the young Gilgal Avenue Jaden, the old shul used to have on the Aron HaKodesh, beautifully on the Aron HaKodesh, they didn't have until they had on the Aron HaKodesh these beautiful shields. The beautiful shields adorning the Aron HaKodesh of the Yud Beish Shvatim. Remember that, Mr. Rules? The Yud Beish Shvatim on the side of the Aron picture. I'm going to show you a picture of the Aron HaKodesh, the Yud Beish Shvatim on the side of the Aron HaKodesh. Okay, next. That's what it says in the Neil. Next, the Koyveya Makam Litfilasai. Next halacha. A person of Makam Kavua. The ain in the Makam Kavua call a Koyveya Makam Litfilasai. Elokei Avram Yehei Be'ezrai. Anyone who has the same Makam where he davens every single day, the God of Avram will be at his side. Who was the one that had a kaviyah, the first one to invent the concept of kaviyah smakayim? Avraham Avinu. Now, this people appreciate this, the details of how this works. Avraham Avinu was the one that was misakein tfilas shachas. When was he misakein tfilas shachas? So if you ask the average person, they'll tell you, when he was mispalel for the people of Sodom. That's not correct. The takon of tefillas, that was an ace, that was a tzor hashah. That was a ro hashah. There was a very desperate situation, so he prayed for them. It was the next day, the day after he davened for Sodom, and Hashem told him, no, I'm not going to save them. The only one I'm going to save is Lot. The next morning it says, Vayoshev Avram returned to the Mokoim, to the same location where he davened for the people of Sodom, and he davened. So it's fascinating. Avram Avinu was Mesakein Shachris the day after he davened for the people of Sodom. And it appears that he got such an inspiration from the experience of davening, even though he failed. He davened, and Hashem said to him, no. But it was such a good experience, davening, and Hashem telling him no, he decided, you know what, let's do this every day. And the next day, he returned to that mokoy. Why are you going back to that mokoy? Yesterday, you davened for the Rishon, and you did not succeed. You want to misak in chakras, so daven at home. Go daven there. Why are you davening over here? Avraham Avinu, he understood, if that's where I davened yesterday, that was a mokoim of tefillah, you know what, it's kedai to go back and use that mokoim again as a place of tefillah. There's something to it, to come back to the same place where you davened the day before, and that should be your mokoim of tefillah. Why is this so? So in the Mefarshim, there are many, many amhalchim. One of the simplest mahalach is, as simple as pie, is distractions. There's no distractions there because it's boring. I know what the table looks like. I know what the view looks like. I know who's there. There's nothing new to see. There's only one thing to do. It's to daven. If every single day I'm going to go take another seat, musical chairs, so every day I have a new view. Every day there's a new distraction. If you come back to the same place we davened yesterday, there are no distractions because you know already the environment. That's number one. Number two, this principle we learned last week is when you do a mitzvah, you do a tefillah, you sanctify the place. The mokoim, we don't understand how this works, but we have this principle, melamed sheha mokoim goyim. If this is your mokoim, this mokoim is you. There's something that you have invested, injected, a sanctity that you have injected into this makam, and this makam itself is going to assist, enable you to succeed in prayer. And then, if you want to go further, I mean, really, that's really part of the distraction. It's like meditation. Meditation, the more you repeat yourself in a certain makam, it creates a habit. It enhances your ability to concentrate.
Can you
catch
somebody out then?
If you want? Yes. Oh, wait. Well, let's before we go to the next thing. Now, the first thing, this is the more important principle. Doesn't just mean that when I come to this shul, I daven in this seat. A much greater fulfillment of kaveh makom means I daven in the same place every single day.
Same shul.
Same shul. I'm davening the same shul in the same minyan. Every single place. Doesn't just mean the seat. One day I woke up at 8:30, so I went to this shul. I woke up one day at 7 o'clock, I went to this shul. And this day I didn't wake up, so I davened at the Kaisel. Oh, but each place where I davened in my Mokam Kavua. At home, my Mokam Kavua is the Kaisel. In this shul, it's here. In this shul, it's there. You totally missed the boat. The Iker Mokam, Kola Kaveh Mokam Litvilosa means to daven in the same place every single day. I try to force myself, I'm not trying to brag, is I leave my tefillin in yeshiva, in the locker. Which means I don't have the liberty of waking up late and going around the corner. Because I don't have my tefillin. On purpose. I have no choice. My tefillin are there in the locker. I got to get there. No matter what. And if I'm going to daven late, so too be it for me. I'm going to have to go and get them and go somewhere else. It really forced me. For me, it works wonders. Because if I didn't have my tefillin at home, who knows what I would end up doing. This way, the minyan, there's only one minyan, really two minyanim, so whatever, I can have really a trip, but there's one minyan. You have no choice. You get yourself into a routine.
But Shabbos should be daven.
No, I mean, so everyone here probably, I would imagine every single person over here has a shul for Shabbos. I have a shul for the weekday. No, same place? Wow, okay. I stand
7 days a week. 7 days a week at the same. I used to.
Four shuls, okay.
However, I just want to mention a point. When there's a machlokes and there's a breakaway menu.
Yeah.
And I'm the type that I don't do machlokes. I like the old shul, I like the new shul. I have friends in both of them. So I go to both shuls. So I have, you know.
How do you deal with it?
Is that a bad thing? Is that a bad thing? I don't know. What can I do?
You can't generalize. Every situation is different. I'm sure you're doing the right thing. Knowing you, you're doing the right thing. Are the other people doing the right thing? I don't know. But knowing you, you are for sure doing the right thing. The Iker Kaveh is to daven in the same place. Today we live in a society. That's society today. You can't have anything. People have a shul for Shabbos, they have a shul for Friday night, a shul for the weekday, a shul for mincha, summer, winter, you have your routine. That's the way we live. What can I tell you? Is it bad? Not necessarily is it bad. Okay, now it's kicking someone out of your seat. Kaveh makam l'tfilasa is within Dalet Amos. Doesn't have to be mamish your seat. Doesn't have to be mamish your seat. It can be this seat also, it can be this seat, it can be that seat. And the answer is it all depends. All depends. Who is the person? It all depends. Sometimes you right away see the person, you come very late to davening. If you come very late to davening, then it's not, and someone already was there from, or a guest, the simcha, he was a guest there from early on, he came before davening. Obviously, it's not their cheretz. If they're in the middle of kriyashma, it's common sense. You don't need any halacha. It's not normal when you come in the middle of kriyashma to kick someone out, a guest who's sitting in your seat. It's nonsense. If you come 10 minutes before davening and the shul is totally empty and there's only one guy and that one guy happens to be sitting in your seat. I had that. I used to come once, came to Chaim Berlin 6 o'clock, big base medrash, humongous base medrash, right? I came there once 6 o'clock, 6:30 years when I was in base medrash to learn early with someone. I walked in, there was only one person in the base medrash at 6:30. And that person was sitting in my seat. In my seat. So I went over there and I started laughing. I started schmoozing with him. And part of the conversation, I told him, what are the chances? And what happened at the end? I think I let him sit there. I said, since what are the chances coming 6:30 in the morning and one person? This is so hilarious. I bedafka, even if you're going to get out of this, I'm not going to sit here today. You're going to sit here because I don't want to.
Is your seat on back of the shore?
In the middle, smack in the center. Smack in the center. Okay, you cannot generalize. Every person and every situation is different. If you come early and you have a family, you have children, you have a family, and this one you're sitting, you're not going to sit in your seat, you're going to be al fatrach, and this guy is a guest, and there are a million other seats, and there are even better seats, and you, with the right words, and the right derech eretz, you mechabit him, you make him feel good, and you give him, it's gold. What does he expect? He expects to come in the shul, he can say whatever he wants. Obviously, there are people that have a makam kavua, so no one else can have times. If you come in the middle of Kriyashma, it's a different story. Where have you been until now? How you say it to him? How you say, excuse me? I mean, there are so many variables. There are a million variables. Common sense is all you need. Period. Yeah. There are no halachas. Don't go tell me halachas.
Anytime you walks into a shul, yeah, and asks somebody,
there are cherets. If there are cherets, where can I sit?
Where can I sit?
There are no halachas in this matter. Don't go show me a kuntres. The laws of throwing someone out of your makom kavua, a whole kuntres, right? A whole sefer. The halacha is of throwing someone out of your makom kavua. I mean, that's a sickness. That's a sickness. To go invest time in making a sefer, a kuntres of these laws. There are no halachas. No halachas.
Business.
Common sense. A makom kavua is choshuv. Makom kavua does not need to be mamish. It can be within dalamish, which means 6 feet. 6 feet distance, which is pretty. Which you can sit over here, over here, over here, over there. You have this mamish sitting in your seat. It's also called makom kavua. And are you late? Are you early? Who is the person? The older person, the younger person, the child? I mean, the variables go on and on and on and on. It's all a matter of common sense. We're out of time. We have a very short break, and I want to discuss with you the laws of, laws, katlonos, a killer woman. Okay, stay tuned. Stay tuned. Don't walk out now.